Support for Jazzed About Work comes from Ohio University's online master's degree in sustainability, security, and resilience. Does your organization or community have a workable plan for when a catastrophe strikes? This 18-month online degree program will give you the skills you need to prepare for, respond to, and recover from natural disasters and other crises. Participants earn 3 stackable certificates in community risk and resilience, change management and leadership, and planning resilient systems, leading to a full master's degree. Students learn cutting-edge skills in sustainability assessment and entrepreneurship, sustainable agriculture, energy policy, and more. This is an exciting, growing field, and no GRE test is required to apply. For more information, follow the link in the description on this podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jazzed About Work, where we talk about everything that might have an impact on your career. I'm your host, Bev Jones. I'm an executive coach, and I write about careers. And the focus of this episode is on careers in the travel field, and particularly on opportunities for agents who specialize in luxury travel. Our guest is Sandy Sabrin, a leader at Gifted Travel Network. It's a fast-growing company in the high-end travel industry. An interesting point about GTN is that it was female-founded, and now it's still led by women. Before she joined GTN in 2017, and in addition to her other jobs related to travel, Sandy has been a career coach and a marketing expert and a business consultant. Today, Sandy will tell us about how the travel industry is evolving, why she loves the field, and how there are still opportunities for people who want to work in a luxury travel business. And she'll share tips about how you might get started in the travel business. Sandy, welcome to Jazzed About Work. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much, Bev. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, today, of course, we're going to be talking about careers in the travel industry. And what I've learned recently is the travel industry has really changed, and there are a lot of opportunities out there. But before we do that, and Jazzed About Work, we always like to hear about our guests' interesting career paths and how they found their way. So I've kind of course, studied up on your background. It seems like you've done a few different things. Can you tell us about how your career evolved and what brought you to travel as the thing you really love?
Absolutely. I sometimes feel like my career didn't as much evolve as it was sort of a meandering path. And I think that when you're young, you feel like when you're in college, I've got to figure out exactly the major I want, exactly the job I want for the rest of my life. And that's a lot of pressure that we put on young people who really don't even have a clue about most of the positions that are even available to them out in the world.
Exactly.
And I was definitely one of those people. I was in college and was majoring in business and really changed majors 3 or 4 times like everybody else does, and just wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And I've always really wanted to travel because I grew up in a family that didn't travel. And so I looked into the opportunities of working in the travel industry when I graduated back in the late 80s, because it was still a thing that there were brick and mortar travel agencies on every corner. And I talked to a few people who had the job, and they were really very unhappy people. So I decided, maybe this isn't what I think I should do. So somehow I ended up becoming a career coach. I guess, you know, if you don't know what you want to do, you help other people figure it out and you figure it out along with them. So I started out helping people with their resumes and with all the documents that they needed for looking for a job, because that just seemed to come pretty easy to me, and did that for a while, and then worked a lot with people who were in career transition, particularly people who'd been laid off from their employers, helping them to look for something else. And I was always focused on how important it is to find your passion. Not to try and find a job like going to a hat store and try on every different one, but instead focus on yourself and what you're passionate about and what you love to do. And so finally, I took my own advice and started really thinking about how I really still wanted to work in travel. And this was, you know, 15 years later. And I, my husband and I were on a cruise, a Mediterranean cruise. And I said to him, I just really want to work in this industry. And he said, why don't you just go ahead and do it? You've been talking about it forever. So miraculously, there was still one travel school in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they were having what ended up being their last class ever because they were closing, and I was in it. So I went to travel school and quite honestly learned a lot of things that were of absolutely no value to me because it was the way travel used to be many years before. But I could say I finished travel school and I got a job as a travel advisor. And that launched me into where I am now. And I was only a travel advisor on the front lines for a year before I went to work in different roles. And I worked in marketing and training and all kinds of different roles in the industry and just kept changing and evolving as I went. And it was a very circuitous path to get to where I am now. But I learned something at every step along the way that served me later on and still serves me today. So it's a very long answer to your question.
Now, that's how careers tend to happen. And it's one of the reasons I always like to hear the story, because I've never had anybody say, well, I wanted to be a lawyer my whole life. I went to law school. I've never done anything but law. I mean, if that's all they did, they wouldn't be talking on my podcast, I guess. But it's the process where the story is. And I think we all learn from each other's processes. But so now I want to focus on what you're doing now, but first I need some help in understanding the status of agencies. I very much remember when there was a travel agency in every neighborhood, it felt like, and you'd go there and you'd talk to them about the ticket you won and things like that. And then we all became, anybody who travels much, we became pretty familiar with how to use some of the various websites and get our own plane tickets. And it felt like, you know, the day of travel agencies was over. But these days, I find it very tedious and confusing to plan a trip. There's such differences in how much something costs. It's hard to know where the really good hotels are. It's hard to know how to set everything up. So something has changed. I knew that. But what I didn't know is it feels like travel agencies are coming back and they're quite different. So what's the status now?
So you're absolutely right, Bev. They have changed and things have changed a lot in the 20 plus years that I've been in the travel industry. And to be fair, travel agencies, we didn't do ourselves any favors by disappearing from the street corners and working from home just because we could. Because the reality is that when you disappear from the street corner, people just assume you disappeared. Mm-hmm. And so without that frequent presence that we were still around, people forgot us. And then with the explosion of online travel agencies, a lot of people of particularly my generation, I'm in my late 50s, and so a lot of people who are of that generation and older felt like, I can do everything I want to do online. And like you said, everything's there. But then quickly the problem becomes there's too much information. And yeah, how do I wade through this? And how do I know what's true and what's not true? Because everybody's had the experience of seeing something online, and then when you either order it or get there or have the experience, it's not at all what you thought it would be.
That's right. And the money is really a big deal with travel now. So if you're ordering a kitchen tool of some kind and it doesn't work at all, oh, well, there goes $20.
Right.
But you invest not just money, you invest time and the ability to get away and your kind of your life dreams. And that's a lot to risk.
You're exactly right. And especially in the United States, because we have by far the least amount of vacation time of any developed country in the world. And ironically, Americans don't use their vacation time. And that's what I did my master's thesis on, is why we don't use that. But that's another conversation. But the point is, when you have very limited time and you're spending a lot of money, you want to make sure that you're getting what you want. And so what has evolved in the travel industry is back in the day when we remember the street corners and even I remember even in the mall, there was a store essentially that was American Airlines. Well, it was Piedmont at the time, but if you needed a plane ticket, you went there and you could buy one. And so what happened was back then you had to go to a travel agent to book things. Now what you go to a travel agent for is advice, guidance, and connections. And the travel advisors of today, the professional travel advisors of today, are very well connected, very well traveled, very knowledgeable about what the reality is. And their role is to make sure that you as a traveler get the very best value for your money. And for some people that means, okay, this is the kind of trip I want to take, and they're pretty clear about what they want. For others, it might be, you know, I have a family with 3 kids ages 8, 12, and 16. We need to go on a vacation, but how on earth do I help? How do I find something that's going to satisfy all those different age ranges and that we're all happy? And so that's what a lot of the travel advisors of today, especially the ones that are affiliated with us at Gifted Travel Network, they are experts in figuring those things out. So before the trip, they're helping you figure out how to have the best vacation possible. And then when they're planning it, they have connections with, there's a lot of companies out there that will only work with travel advisors, and they craft amazing experiences in destinations. And after the trip, the travel advisor is there, or during the trip, if anything goes wrong, you've got somebody. And during the pandemic, we all learned that yes, you can book online or you can book at Costco, but when you have a question or you need help, you're at the mercy of an 800 number and hoping that someone will answer.
Yeah. Well, tell us a bit about Gifted Travel Network, your company. It is not a little corner store, is it?
No, it's not. So what has evolved in the travel industry is something called host agencies. So rather than, it's a lot like the real estate model now. So a travel advisor can affiliate with a host agency like Gifted Travel Network, and together they come together to get advantages from some of these companies that they can't get anywhere else. So when you have a client going to a particular hotel chain, we're probably members of that elite advisor club, and we'll be able to get the traveler extra perks that they could never get on their own. And so instead of being an employee who's sitting behind a desk, behind a computer on the street corner, most of these people are working from home or working from their own independent office. And they're just, it's a network of people who are affiliated with us, and we provide administrative and coaching and teaching resources and for them as they go through their business day.
One thing I noticed when I was looking at your website is that this was founded by several women. It's a women-founded company, and it looks like women are in charge, although you have a really diverse group of associates. Tell us about the, is it interesting in a different way to be in a woman-run company for you?
It is. And, you know, I think it's important to dispel the myth that there's a lot of drama that comes with companies that are staffed completely by women. Excuse me. We are not completely women now, but we are still a mostly woman company, where we are a woman-led company and a woman-founded company. And so the three co-founders who are on the executive team with me, I was joined 7 years ago, so I haven't been here since they started 10 years ago. But the three co-founders really brought their passion to, they saw a better way to provide services and education to travel advisors around the country. And so they created this new model that is very different than what other people are doing. And it's very much focused on coaching and training, so that people are getting the knowledge that they need through the different stages of the life of their business. And it's a really uplifting place to work. We have a lot of fun. We work really hard, and it's incredibly supportive as well. And I think that we just have the best team in the entire industry supporting. There's 31 of us as of yesterday, and we are supporting almost 400 travel advisors in 42 states.
So one of the things I noticed, and things you've written and posted and websites and so forth, is a real focus on technology. And I thought, aha, it's still all about technology and the web and everything, but it's gotten so complicated that now understanding and applying the technology is part of what makes agent so helpful, because you don't have to do all that yourself. Is that right? It's a real part of it is the technology of the business.
It is. And that's, you know, ironically, that's one thing that the travel industry is known for, as being one of the first industries to be computerized. So the travel industry, back before most industries had computers, they had computers on their desktop that were incredibly powerful. And those systems are still around today. But the challenge that the industry faces is that it sort of got that technology many, many decades ago, and then sort of sat on it and then didn't do anything else. There wasn't any appetite for any new technology. So we've been behind, and now we're starting to catch up. So we've always had the tools that we needed to make bookings happen for clients. Where we've struggled is that a lot of those systems don't talk to one another, and so it's been a bit redundant, in that you have to enter information in this system, put the same information in that system, and then a third system. And so we've really been leading the charge to improve that, and we are really looking, I'm doing a deep dive into the technology stack that members need to optimize their business, and really trying to support those businesses that are new coming into the industry that are providing new and amazing technology, not as much for booking, because we've had that, but more about making the day-to-day life of the advisor that much easier.
Well, let's focus for a bit on the advisor, on people maybe who are our listeners who love to travel, aren't particularly enamored of what they're doing now, and are starting to think, gee, I wonder if I could make a shift into the travel business. If we do have people out there, how would you tell them to get started?
The great news is that it is an opportunity that's out there for many people. And it's fairly easy to get started. It's not as if you have to have a particular degree or a particular license. And I actually would argue it's a little too easy to get started, because there are a number of companies out there who just advertise, you know, get started and book travel, book your own. And they're just really bringing down the reputation of the travel advisor. But for people who want to do this seriously, there are lots of ways to get started. And one of the choices that we have made as Gifted Travel Network is to put together a comprehensive one-year training program to help people understand not so much how to be a travel agent, it's not just that, but how to be a travel entrepreneur, because you're going to be your own business owner. You can have your own book of business. You're going to specialize in what you want to specialize in. You're going to be responsible for marketing yourself. And most people who get into this industry don't really know what they don't know. So while they think about, oh, I can learn how about different hotels and cruise lines, that's great. But how are you going to get clients? How are you going to market yourself? How are you going to actually make money? And that's what we teach through our Travel MBA program, is we teach them the skills, the mindset, and provide the tools that they need to be able to have a profitable travel business. And it's something that most people come to as a second career. So we have people who've gone through the program or are in the program now who have been attorneys, doctors, judges, Wall Street professionals, salespeople, just all kinds of different walks of life who've been very successful in what they're doing, but they're not passionate about it. And they think there's got to be a better way, and there's got to be an opportunity where I can actually make enough money to pay the bills, support my family, and have my passion for travel work in part of that. And that's what the travel industry does. And it's not as easy as just saying, hey, I'm going to be a travel agent, and tomorrow you're a travel agent and suddenly you're making money left and right. But it is a great opportunity. And Virtuoso, which is a luxury travel consortium that we're part of, has said that there's far more demand for luxury travel advisors than there are advisors to fill that demand.
Wow. Well, I have another question about this for people who might be thinking of this as a career. Ages ago, I interviewed somebody who loved travel. And at one point of her life, she thought, you know, I'm going to work for a cruise ship, mm-hmm. and I get to see the world. And she said it was horrible. It was like working in a basement all the time. They worked long hours, they worked hard, and they never really got to see anything in her job. If people are drawn to a career in travel, do they really get to travel?
That's a really great question. And the answer is yes, as long as they run their business correctly. So the people who don't really get to travel are the ones who get into this and don't really put any effort or time into building the business aspect of it. So therefore, they're not really making any money, so they can't really afford to travel. But we have lots of travel advisors who not only do they travel a lot and they pick where they want to go and they travel there, and they're seeing lots of hotels, or if they're interested in cruises, they're taking cruises, but they also can live and travel at the same time. So they can run their business from anywhere with a laptop and an internet connection. And so some of them choose to go and spend. We have one advisor who specializes in Paris and France in general, but Paris specifically, and he is spending the next 4 months living in Paris. So he'll still be running his business and he's there making connections. But you can only do that if you're running your business in a smart way, so you actually are making money and have the right kind of clients to do that.
Well, a lot of people do jump into a business without really knowing what a business is. It sounds mm-hmm. like your program will help to address it. But again, if we have a listener out there who's thinking, gosh, what I really want is to just go get a job because I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. My question is there a way to start? And I believe there is, but I want to know your view, is how do you start thinking like an entrepreneur?
I think the first thing, the first secret to being an entrepreneur is to first get rid of the myth that if you build it, they will come. I can't tell you how many people I know who've opened retail businesses and think that just because they've secured a space, made it lovely, and are standing there waiting by the cash register to do business with you, they think that people are just magically going to show up, and it doesn't happen. So the first thing to be an entrepreneur is that you've got to focus on what kind of a problem can you solve for people. And if you're going to be a travel advisor, that problem is probably not the booking aspect, because anybody can go online and book something. It's helping them wade through the noise and helping them craft a vacation that works for them. So that's the first thing you've got to get clear on is, how do I help people who want to travel? And then the second thing that you've got to think about is, okay, now I know who I want to help. How are you going to get in front of those people? Because they're not going to magically find you, and you can't just post on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and wherever else, or do TikTok videos and hope that people find you, because it doesn't work that way. And so it is a lot of good old-fashioned marketing that's required. And if the idea of talking to people about what you do scares you, then entrepreneurship may not be for you. That doesn't mean you can't work in the industry, but it means that that may not be the path that you want to move forward with.
That's really good advice. So much of it is connecting with people.
Absolutely.
And it's not only marketing, although marketing is certainly key, but learning about what you're doing. Well, I've got another question that I'm thinking of, both from the standpoint of somebody who might get into the business and somebody like me who might want to go back to finding help when I travel. And that is, how is the money made? How do you make money if you're the advisor? And why is it, where do I pay? Who gets the money? How mm-hmm. does it flow?
So it's a great question, and there's two main streams of revenue for travel advisors of today. One of them is commission that's paid based on what they book through the whatever hotel or cruise line or tour company, whatever you're booking, pays commission to the advisor after travel takes place. So if you and I are talking about a trip, today, you and I are talking about a trip that you're going to take next summer. The travel advisor is not going to get that commission until next fall, probably. So they'll pay it after that, wow. that happens. So it's a delay. The other big stream of revenue for professional travel advisors that are working today are professional fees. And I would be hesitant to work with a travel advisor that doesn't charge a professional fee, because it, to me, in today's market, they're probably not as serious about what they're doing as those who do. And those fees can range from, you know, a couple hundred dollars on up, depending on the specialty and the connections of the advisor. But it's the same way you pay any other kind of professional, whether it's the person who does your taxes or your financial advisor or an attorney. You pay them, you're paying them for their time, their knowledge, and their expertise. And the trip itself is not going to cost you more, and they may actually save you money. But the point is that you're have somebody who's by your side making sure that you get the very best for your vacation dollar and helping you craft that perfect vacation for you and your family.
So how does a person who wants to take a trip and thinks, you know, this makes some sense, I need some advice, how do you select an advisor?
Well, and that has been a real issue, because a lot of people don't realize that travel advisors are still a thing. And then when they are looking for one and they make the mistake of posting on Facebook, does anybody know a travel advisor? They'll get 25 people comment, I'm an advisor. And it's somebody who just does it part-time and very casually, just they pick it up and put it down like knitting. And what they really want is a professional travel advisor. And so that's something that the industry, and particularly Virtuoso that we're part of, is working on connecting people better. But on our website, giftedtravelnetwork.com, we have advisors and their profiles, and so that you can connect directly to them so you can find what you're looking for. Because if you're considering doing an African safari, you need somebody who knows African safaris, not somebody who's never done one, doesn't know anybody who's done one, and doesn't have the right connections in that industry. Same thing if you want to go to Antarctica. You need somebody who's an expert in that field. So it's super important to be able to connect with somebody like that. And we're trying to help begin to bridge that gap with listing people on our website so that they can get connected with somebody who is an expert in their field.
Well, it's I feel like I'm better educated about travel than I was before we started talking. But thinking about people who might want a career in travel, and maybe they don't know if they want to be an advisor or what they want to do, do you have any suggestions on how a person, maybe somebody mid-career, they're ready to make a shift, they've, you know, got good people skills and tech skills, how do they explore the travel industry when they're not ready yet to take a course? I just want to kind of check it out.
Well, hostagencyreviews.com is a really good resource for people to start with. And so that website is a, it's not only a clearinghouse of information about all the different host agencies that are out there, but they also have some really good information about how you can get started and what it looks like to be in these different kinds of roles. And then you also are always welcome to reach out to us and have a conversation. And we have people who go through our travel MBA program who get to the end, and we have this conversation with people throughout the program. They have this with their advisor, and they say, you know what, I realize I really don't want to do the marketing part. I just want to do the travel part. And then we end up connecting them with one of our existing advisors who's looking for someone who has a capacity that they're looking for somebody to play some sort of a role in the travel planning process, whether that's a client care manager or it's somebody who's actually doing booking or some other role. So there are lots of opportunities out there for people, both entrepreneurs and non-entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Sandy. This is really interesting. I really appreciate your being here today. And I've got a trip in my mind. I've got a think about what I'm going to do, because I'm thinking I want to get some help on this one. So thank you for me personally.
Well, thank you. And I just encourage everybody out there to take the trip. Life is short. The pandemic taught us this. We don't have as much time as we think we do. And travel changes your world and it makes the world a better place. So take the trip and enjoy your vacation.
Good advice. Thanks for being here, Sandy. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Today we've been talking with Sandy Sayburn about careers in the luxury travel industry. This podcast is produced by WOUB Public Media. Adam Rich is our audio engineer. I'm your host, Beverly Jones, author of Find Your Happy at Work. And our sponsor is the Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service at Ohio University. Today's tip is that if your job doesn't feel interesting anymore, it's possible to try something new. Many of your skills can be redeployed in entirely different fields. Thanks for listening to Jazzed About Work, and come back soon.